This week we are looking at the future impacts of climate change.
ওখানে একতলা একটা বিল্ডিং ছিল, একটা মন্দির ছিল, ওখান থেকে পশ্চিমে সরে পশ্চিম দিক সরে একটা প্রাইমারি।
There was a one-story building and a temple. There was a primary school to the west, and next to it, another temple. All of these have been washed away by the river. Before Cyclone Ayla, we fished and had fish farms here. We used to catch fish on commission. We made a good income from it. We were living in a different type of happiness. During Cyclone Ayla, the flood defenses collapsed. Then there was nothing but water everywhere because of the strong winds. All the houses were destroyed. The whole place was just a field of water. Those who could swim got to the embankments and saved themselves. After a few days, the plants started dying because the water that flooded in was so salty. The trees started dying too, as they needed fresh water. Now high tides flood our village twice a day. I'm not working at the moment. There isn't any work about, so I'm at home. I catch a few fish to eat. I am still young. I can go further afield to work, so I am just able to support my family. But people in their 50s and 60s, many of them cannot work. They are frail. Often there are days when they go without food. They can't feed their families. Now many of them have no alternative but to beg. Everything will vanish from our village. Many of us have drowned already. If we have to stay here by the river, we will get washed away. If the water takes us, then it will take us.
That's a heartbreaking picture, and we've been hearing how climate change might affect us, both in environmental and economic terms. But what can we as individuals do to help? In a minute, we'll hear how a world-leading company is helping us to save energy in the mobile devices we use every day. But what can we as individuals do to help climate change? Well, one person who might have some answers is Dr. Roman Krznarek from the London-based cultural enterprise think tank, The School of Life. And he's also the author of Empathy, A Handbook for Revolution. How does the issue of empathy tie up with climate change?
Now, normally we think of climate change as something that needs technological, scientific solutions, but try and think about it through the lens of empathy. I mean, 98% of us have the ability to empathize, to step into other people's shoes, wired into our brains. And climate change can be seen as a problem of a huge empathy deficit. We're not putting our empathy into practice in two ways. We're failing to step into the shoes of people in developing countries who are being hit by extreme weather events related to climate change, like we just heard about Anil there in Bangladesh. And equally, we're failing to step into the shoes of future generations. You know, what's it like to be a teenager living in Dublin or Dubai in 2100 in a climate-changed world? And unless we can make that empathic leap, we're not actually going to create the kind of grassroots social movements, the kind of political action that are required to push the politicians to come to new global agreements.
How do we evoke empathy for the climate? Is the solution just, you know, cute pictures of polar bears?
I'm sorry to say that all those cute polar bear pictures haven't actually been very good at galvanizing people over the last few years on climate change, because the social science research tells us that actually what motivates us is caring about other people more than, you know, plants or animals. That's the reality of it. And there needs to be much more campaigning about trying to give a human face to the people whose lives are being affected by climate change today and in the future.
And one of the things that we see a lot is on social media, things like Facebook, lots and lots of people sharing pictures and saying, you know, save the planet. Is social media actually going to help us evoke this empathy and desire to do something? Or is it just people scrolling through, clicking?
I think social media is a double-edged sword. On the one hand, there's a lot of slacktivism rather than activism around people clicking an online petition, thinking that's genuine political action. But we also know that organizations like 350.org or the Climate Outreach Information Network in the UK have used social media to get tens of thousands of people onto the streets. I mean, just a few weeks ago, in 162 countries, there were climate change protests, nearly 50,000 people in London, over 350,000 people in New York. And when you look at human history, you don't get big political change, action on climate change or the movement against slavery in the 18th century. You don't get that without there being mass social action, collective action. So at the same time as we need to insulate our own homes, we do have to get out onto the streets and make our voices heard.
If there was one thing that you think could increase empathy that you would want to see tomorrow, what would it be?
I'd like to see every school class in Britain having a twin link up with a school class in a country being hit by climate change today, whether in Kenya or Uganda or Bangladesh, so that we actually have conversations with people in other countries which actually open our eyes to the realities of how climate change is affecting people's lives right now today.
Thanks very much. That's Dr. Roman Krishnarich from the School of Life, London, and author of Empathy, A Handbook for Revolution.